If you want to turn with us tonight, I'll be reading in the book of Matthew, chapter number 27. Matthew chapter 27, verse 15. Now at that feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would, and they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas, or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with this just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whither of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. Lord, help me, I want to preach from this verse here and borrow a few of these words here. Pilate asked them, he said, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? If Lord will help me a little while, I want to preach to us on what will you do with this man called Jesus? What will you do with this man called Jesus? Would you pray the Holy Ghost would anoint us and help us tonight? Well, we thank you, Lord, that you said where two or three are gathered together in your name, that you'd be there in the midst of us. Lord, I ask you for the Holy Ghost to come by and touch us. Lord, anoint us. Let us preach exactly what you have us to say. Lord, move in these altars. Bless somebody, Lord. Touch somebody's heart, Lord. Bless us, Jesus. Anoint us. Anoint me to preach, Lord. Anoint us to hear. Meet with us tonight in these altars, Lord. With your Holy Ghost power, Lord, I ask you to move and touch us and help us. Preach us like you've laid it on our heart. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Appreciate this opportunity to be here. Appreciate the opportunity to preach. I was beginning to think about this a few weeks back, and this got to kind of just coming through my mind and rolling around. I guess some preachers, we kind of get a thought and we just kick it around a while, don't we, Brother Tommy? Maybe a month or two rolls around and we're still just thinking about it. And so Brother Shad asked me to preach, and this is what I felt on my heart, and I felt like the Lord impressed me this evening to go ahead and preach this thought on what will you do with this man called Jesus. I'd like to look at these two people here, these two prisoners, I guess. Jesus was on trial, and we look at him, and we look at a man called Barabbas. Now, Barabbas is a criminal. He's known because if he did something that was evil, and they know that he has committed murder, and Matthew called him a prisoner, a notable prisoner, a notorious one, one that was well known to be evil and to be bad, and Mark, I believe it was, called him a murderer, and John, I believe it is, calls him a robber. So we have a man that's in prison that's a murderer and a robber, and he got a bunch of stuff stirred up. They called it insurrection. I didn't study it all out like I'd like to and find out about all of Barabbas' life. But if you look at him up to Jesus, there's really no reason why that you should want to let a criminal go. If I had today two men before us here, and one of them was an old murderer, and all the other one did was try to start some movement that didn't really hurt anybody, I'd for sure enough let that man go. And I feel a little ringing here, brother, if you can kind of get that down for me, I appreciate it. But I got to thinking about this man called Barabbas, how that their hearts were so moved against Jesus that they would let a prisoner. Barabbas was worthy of judgment, and he because he has not convicted the world of sin and of unrighteousness, the people here is willing to let a murderer go instead of Jesus. I'd like to be on the side of eternity, I guess, for Jesus. I'd like to be his defendant tonight on why we should keep Jesus and why we should let him go and keep Barabbas. Barabbas is known for his wickedness, and he is caused an uprising, and he's a robber and no good man. He deserves judgment. But this man called Jesus, the Bible says that he just went about doing good. There's never been a man that spake like him, is what one writer put it. There's been people that's been healed all over this land, all over Jerusalem, that's been touched by the mighty hand of Jesus. There's been those with leprosy that's had their leprosy healed before his very eyes. There's been people with demonic spirits that have been cleansed and delivered by Jesus. Why should we want to kill Jesus and let Barabbas go? Because Barabbas has done these things, and we know that he has. They have to bring lies before the Sanhedrin to lie about Jesus, and they still couldn't convict him on those grounds. But they had to lie to get him. And finally, Pilate even said, I find no reason to kill him. I find no fault in this just man. I'd like to point us tonight to the worthy judgment that Barabbas had. He was worthy of death, worthy of to be killed because he had committed those things. But Jesus, on the other hand, has done no evil. Everywhere he's went, they've tried him in two different places and found him to be innocent. But because a man wanted to please the people, he said, who would you that I release unto you? Barabbas or this man called Jesus? They say, let us have Barabbas. What then shall I do with this man called Jesus? That's what I want to preach to us tonight. What are you going to do with this man called Jesus? What are you going to do with this man called Jesus? We look at folks during their lives, and we find them as they do like different folks. We find as Jesus was being crucified, they come by just making fun. There's a lot of people they don't understand about the Lord, so they just make fun of it. And it's just a joke to them, and they don't realize what Christ could do for them. There are those kind of people that to Jesus, he's just something to make fun of. Then we've got a different crowd that they know of him, and they've heard of him and seen what he's done. But they choose not to carry the cross and follow him. There are those that choose to follow him afar off and just watch and see the things that Jesus did. But I like what Peter says when the Lord tells him, will ye also go away? When he heard different ones, heard him speak hard sayings, and they left away. Jesus asked him, will you go away? I like what Peter says. He said, where could we go? You have the words of eternal life. What are you going to do with this man called Jesus? I'd like to narrow it on down to this church. What are you going to do to this man called Jesus? Are you just going to be those that look on? Or are you going to be those that serve him with all your heart? They could almost feel comfortable with Barabbas because their hearts were full of evil. Murder, adultery, fornication, sins of the flesh and spirit. But the very presence of Jesus made demons cry out. But he was a friend of sinners and publicans because they needed a physician. He stirred up the hypocrites in their day because of their hypocrisy by calling them vipers, hypocrites, whited sepulchres, clouds without water, blind leading the blind. But they would not come to him that they might have eternal life. Can you imagine how Jesus, he's just went about doing good. And oh, he's wept and wept for those that's lost. And he's wept for the religious leaders of that day. And he's told them, he said, wish you had turned from your ways and served me and come to me. But he said, you will not repent that you might have life. Oh, the cry of the world today is still the same as it was in Jesus' day. Crucify him. Crucify him. Our televisions, I hope there's none in this church. And if you got one, get rid of it. Get out of your house. David said, I'll put no evil thing before my eyes. But the world today has got men that's murderers. They'd rather watch a murderer for hours and hours and hours. They'd rather watch people commit adultery. They'd rather watch people commit fornication and lying and doing every sin that's in the Bible. You know what they're saying? Let us do away with this Christ and let us have Barabbas. And let's creep over into the church when the preacher preaches something that's a little hard. We almost tell him away with this stuff. There are churches full of Jesus, but they're lacking holy living. But I'd like to tell you, I want everything to do with this Jesus. I want everything to do with this just man. I love his compassion. In Jesus was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Everything that the Father possessed, Jesus possessed. All of his holiness. From all down the beginning of time, all of his compassion, all of his mercy was held in a human flesh. Human body, everything that was the very essence and the nature of God was in Jesus Christ. But there were people so full of the devil that just his very presence vexed their spirit. We find Pilate in one of the readings of the Gospels. We find Pilate talking to Jesus. He tells him, he said, don't you know I have the power to kill you? But Jesus told him, you have no power, but that it were given you on high. What a man. What a man named Jesus. What a wonderful Savior. What a courageous Christ we have. Jesus up there knows his very life is on the line, but he still has those words of authority. And you know what Pilate told him? He said, behold your King. He had the revelation of Jesus. How many people have a revelation of Christ? They know who he is and what he's done. They know that he is the King, but they're not willing to repent. There's people that know that Jesus is the only way to heaven. They know he's the only way to salvation, but they're willing to go without Christ.
We find Pilate's wife could have used him to be one to the Lord. She said, have nothing to do with this just man. Have nothing to do with this just man. I've suffered many things in a dream. There's people like Agrippa that almost they're persuaded to be saved. There's folks that the Lord touches them just enough to where they're almost persuaded. What will you do with this Christ? Will you do like Felix and send him away until it's a more comfortable season? There's people in the church world today, there's backsliders. There's people that's lost. There's people that's on the line of getting out of church. And I'd like to ask you this question tonight. What will you do with this man called Jesus? What will you do with this man called Jesus? The cry of the world today is still the same as it was in Jesus' day. Crucify him. We see it all over the country. They are tolerable of everything but Jesus Christ and holy living. If I was today to go on a Supreme Court and carry the Ten Commandments in, they might make me stop them at the door. But you know, I could carry any ungodly logo I wanted to on a T-shirt. I could carry cuss words and have them all across the front of my shirt, and they probably wouldn't say nothing about that. I could go inside of there holding a man's hand, and they probably wouldn't say nothing about that. What has the world said about Jesus? Crucify him. We don't want nothing to have to do with this just man. We don't want anything to have to do with him. The cry of the world is so prevalent, and it's such a forceful thing in our country to where if we're not careful, by next year there may not be a Christmas. There may be a holiday canceled because it has the word Christ in it. There's people that hate Christ. The reason that they hate him is because he stands for absolute truth. Absolute. There's no way, there's no name under heaven whereby men must be saved than this name, Christ Jesus. There's other religions that say, well, you can have your religion and still be all right, and I can have mine. They're tolerable of that. But they're not tolerable of this man that says, except you repent. Except you repent, you're going to go to hell. Except you be converted and turn from your wicked ways, you'll go to hell. Oh, that's terrible, ain't it? Away with this just man. We don't want no part of him. He's crazy. Oh, but Jesus, with that mercy flowing out of him on the cross of Calvary, with those Jews that mocked him and his friends and his family, looking on, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What a man named Jesus. What a man. I tell you what I'd like to do with this man called Jesus. I'd like to serve him. I'd like to give him every key to my heart, Brother Darrell. I'd like to say, Lord, come in and abide with me. He said, if any man abide in me, I abide in him. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. I tell you why I want to serve Jesus, because of what he's done for me. There's folks that don't even know this Christ. There's a church world, and there's a nation that's in the balance of even being what we call a Christian nation. Even what we call a Christian nation. They're not. Our churches are full of people that want nothing to do with this holy Christ. They want nothing to do with this holiness Christ. They don't care about, they are all right with the love of Christ. But what about Jesus when he said, except ye become as little children, ye cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. They go to lease with Christ until he gets over into their lives. Then, what will you do with this man called Christ? I want nothing to do with this man called Christ if it costs me everything. Well, it's going to cost you everything. He said, he that saves his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life shall find it. I'm glad for this man called Jesus. Jesus, what a lovely name of Jesus. I did a very good job preaching tonight. I've struggled this whole message. But if I could preach to you how the Holy Ghost preached this message to me this evening, it would have went over a whole lot better. But I got to thinking about this man called Barabbas, how that sin blinds the minds of people to such a point where they don't have proper judgment. They don't even care that they are turning a murderer loose in society. They didn't even care that they were turning a robber loose back into society. They didn't care that they were turning a man that was a troublemaker back loose into society. But just because this Jesus had pricked their hearts so much, and they were not willing to repent, they were willing to kill him. They don't want anything to do with God. Our nation is almost an anti-Christ, anti-God nation. Anymore, you find hardly any churches that's willing to stand for the truth. They'll take a little bit of it, and they've washed it down so much to where anybody's saved and everybody's saved. But Jesus said, there's only one way. And it's the straight gate that goes to this way called heaven. I tell you, I want everything to do with this man called Jesus. He said he had everything that pertained to life and godliness. This man called Jesus could go to a gravesite where death was. And he could call a man's name and death have no grip on him. This man called Jesus could speak and there was water. This man called Jesus could speak and the winds that were contrary would stop and the waves would cease. This man called Jesus could have stopped those people from putting the crown of thorns upon his head. He could have stopped them from slapping his face and spitting on him. And I believe the Bible said he was marred more than any other man. What are you going to do with this man called Jesus? Are you going to trample his blood time after time after time? There's young folks that backslide and get in and backslide and get in. You're trampling the blood of Jesus every time that you get out of church. What are you going to do with this man called Jesus? Or are you going to just throw him away? The Bible said that when we sin, we crucify him afresh. Do you want to crucify this man called Jesus? Oh, it's important to live for him. It's so important to live for him. I wish Judas could have the opportunity to preach this message. I wish Judas could have the opportunity to preach to us tonight. He'd preach this a whole lot better than me. He'd preach this a whole lot better than I ever thought about preaching it. Because we see what a man named Judas did with Jesus. Judas loved money. He loved money. We find him being the one that when Mary anointed the feet of Jesus, when she broke the alabaster box, and the Bible said, I think it was maybe a close to a year's wages or something like that. It was worth a lot of money. I can't remember exactly how much it was. When she broke the box and anointed the Lord for burial, he, I believe it was the one that spoke up and said, Lord, could not that thing been sold? And the money been given to the poor? He wasn't so worried about the poor, I don't feel like, as he was the money. Because we find out that the Bible said that Satan filled Judas, and he despised and sold the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. Somebody figured that up a while back, and it was $16 and something of what our currency would be now. For $16, I can't remember how many cents it was, but I think somebody I know studied that up on what that would be worth right now. He sold the Lord for $16. I'll never sell the Lord for $16, but there's people. And I know I'm not telling you, I know there's folks at our church that work at Cooper. I'm not getting on that, brother. I know you got to pay your bills. The Bible said you're worse than an infidel, and I'm not going to get into nothing. I ain't your pastor. But there's people that have quit church, quit it completely because of their job. Quit God completely. You know what they've said? I want nothing to do with this just man. I want money. I want money. One preacher said, the rich people is the most miserable people in the world. And he said, the poorest people is the happiest because they feel like when they get rich, they'll be happy. So they're happy thinking about that money. And the rich people is miserable because they got it all and they can buy anything. And they realize that that's not happiness. But we find Judas selling the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. And you know what the Bible said that he did? After he seen the Lord get whooped and beat and scourged, this is before he was even put on the cross. If I remember it right, he comes back and he says, take back your money, I don't want it. They said, it's too late. It's too late. It's too late. What are you going to do with this Jesus? Are you going to wait till it's too late to call on him? Are you going to wait until you ain't got any more time? There's folks that have thought, I'll pray on my deathbed. I'll pray on my deathbed. But the Bible said this grace that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. God only has one obligation, and he's God. He can do whatever he wants to, but he said he's only got one obligation to deal with your soul about salvation. And there's people that push it away day after day after day because maybe they want that better job. Maybe they want that nice-looking girl. Maybe they want that nice-looking car. Maybe they want these things of the world. There's nothing wrong with those things, but when you put them in front of Christ, then it's sin. Oh, he find himself in a miserable place. Not only is he not got his money anymore, but he don't care because he's not got his Savior anymore. There's folks that walk out on the Lord, and they find themselves in such terrible shape. There's people that's backslid, that's committed suicide because they realize there's nothing out there what they sold the Lord for. There's nothing out there. There's a girl in our church that backslid, and her name is Keely. Y'all know her. She was doing good in church, but the devil got to pulling on her, and she decided to just kiss this Jesus goodbye. And you know what's happened to her? She's got involved in a bunch of relationships since she's been backslid. Now she's involved with a man that's already got children. And such a terrible thing that sin will do. And every time I see her, she looks so helpless and looks so miserable. You go ahead and throw away this Jesus. But one day you'll look back and you'll say, oh, I wish I'd have kept him close. I wish I'd have did like John the Beloved. I wish I'd have kept him close. I wish I'd have leaned on the Lord. And I'd have said, Lord, wherever you go, I want to go. Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. But there's people that to them, this Christ is nothing. It's of no value. It means nothing to them. There's folks, I feel like there's somebody under the sound of my voice. You need to hear this message. And I'd like to ask you, what will you do with this man called Christ? Are you going to choose to serve him? Or are you just going to say it's no big thing? So what about this little Jew man? So what about him? He's not got nothing to give me. What about your soul? Where will you be 1,000,000 years from now? Will you be happy? Will you be singing? While ages roll throughout eternity, I ask this question. Where will you be? Where will you be when the trumpet sounds? There's millions and millions of Jews that's paid for one man. The Holocaust. How many millions was killed by Hitler? And he felt like he was doing the will of God. And you know what the Bible said? I believe it says in one place that he puts in the hearts of evil men to perform his will. They said, let his blood be on us and on our children. Go ahead and throw away this man called Jesus. Throw away this man called Jesus and watch your family just be torn apart. Throw away this man called Jesus and watch your everything. Watch your finances fall apart. I've seen folks where it wasn't that way. I've seen folks to when they backslid, they got everything it seemed like they ever wanted. And you know what the devil did? He just patted them all the way to hell. But when they got there, the very demons, I read this in a book and it shook me. Smith Wigglesworth, book I've got, he said the very demons hate the thought of having to go to hell. How much more should we, who will be intruders on the devil, want to despise God and reject this Christ that has the keys of life in his hand? Sir, too many times we take it for granted what all Christ can do for us. Why don't you come to him if you need healing? Why don't you come if you need to be saved? Why don't you come to me that you could have life? Everything that you need is in Jesus. There's a song that we sing, Jesus, give him the honor. Jesus, give him the praise. Jesus, give him the glory. It's all in Jesus, my sweet Jesus. This man called Christ had everything that he needed. That was a deathbed repentance right there. That was one that I record, but I'd like to be like the ones that run to him. I'd like to be like one of those lepers that run to him. The Lord saved me a while ago, brother. But there's every once in a while I have to run back to him and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Jesus has got everything that the church needs. If you need the Holy Ghost, Jesus is the baptizer. If you need cleansing, Jesus is the cleanser. If you need healing, Jesus is the healer. I'm asking you tonight, what will you do with this man called Jesus? There's a lot of people that don't want anything to do with him because he puts something in them that realizes in their consciousness that there's a place called heaven and a place called hell that if they don't make the right choice, they'll go to hell. They don't want that. They don't even want the thought of God in their mind. They hate the thought of God in their mind because it convicts them. That's why we have the atheists and the people that don't believe there is a God, because they don't want anything that they've done to be judged. That's why the homosexual hopes there's no God. That's why the people that backbites and the people that hates people and the people that's murders, they wish there wasn't a God, because one day there's going to be a judge. But while he's the mercy giver, while he's the one standing with salvation, I'd like to run to him. The Bible said, whosoever shall run to the rock shall be broken. Whosoever falls on the rock shall be broken, but whosoever the rock falls on shall be ground to powder. Oh, there's going to be a judgment day. There's going to be a judgment day. I ain't got this over very good. I felt struggled all the way through the whole message. But I feel like I've preached what the Lord's laid on my heart. There's going to be a great judgment day one of these days when everybody, both small and great, both young and old, is going to stand before this King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you're not going to have a bunch of excuses to give the Lord. It doesn't matter who hurts your feelings in the church. It doesn't matter who hurts your feelings down the road. It doesn't matter who got in your way of getting to eternity. God's going to say, what about you? What did you do with this man called Jesus? And you're going to have to say, you either accepted him or you denied him. What will you do this evening with this man called Christ? If someone gets me a song tonight, somebody gets me a song tonight, his heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I don't know everybody's heart in this building. I hope everybody's saved, and I hope this is just a message to strengthen the church. But I'd like to ask you tonight, if you're here and you're lost, would you like to be saved? If you're here and you don't know Jesus, would you like Jesus to be your reigner? Would you like to be Him to be your Lord? See, there's something different than just realizing that Jesus is the Son of God. The Bible said that the very devils of hell realize that Jesus is the Son of God, but they go a step further than that. They tremble. And there's folks today that realize Jesus is the Son of God, but it means nothing to them. The devil's got more religion than they've got. But I'd like to ask you tonight, what would you like to do with this man called Christ? Is there something in your heart that you want to get closer to Him? There's something inside of you that you want everything you can get from this man called Jesus. Is there something inside of you that just longs to get in His presence? I'd like to ask you one more time, what are you going to do with this man called Jesus? Oh, I'd like to be like those ones. I'd like to be like John the Beloved, to where he loved the Lord. He was called the Beloved Disciple because he just longed to be in the Lord's presence. Just shut in with the Lord. He didn't care who was around. He just liked to be in the presence of Jesus. I'd like to be like that in every step of the way, because the devil's out to seek and kill and destroy your soul. He's out to get your family. He's out to get your relatives. He's out to get you most of all. And if you don't accept this Christ, He will get you. Oh, I'd like to keep Jesus Lord of all this Christmas year. I'd like to keep the Lord above everything in my life. I'd like to keep Him Lord of all, because if He's Lord, not Lord of all, He won't be Lord at all. And there's people that play around with this man called Jesus. And to him, it doesn't matter to them what exactly the Lord thinks about what they're doing. They just want to do their own thing. But I'd like to ask you tonight, is there something in your life that you're doing that if Jesus was to come back tonight, it'd keep you from heaven? Is there just one thing? Is there something that you're scared about? Is there something that troubles your soul when you think about it? I'd like to ask you, what will you do with this man called Jesus? Are you going to accept His forgiveness? Are you going to run to Him? Are you going to follow Him afar off, to where you're just out of reach of His grasp when trouble comes, where you're just out of His reach when different things come in your life? Are you going to follow Him close? Are you going to be right towards Him? As they play and sing, I'd like to ask you, someone tonight, is there anybody here that's lost? You'd like to raise your hand and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'm not saved." Is there anybody? If you're not tonight, church, let's come find us a place to pray. Tell you what I'd like to do with this man called Jesus. I'd like to get closer than I ever have to Him this next year. I'd like to get just as close to this man named Jesus as I have in my whole life, because He's got the answer to every problem in your life.
Where will you be a million years from now? Will you be happy? Will you be singing while ages roam throughout eternity? Where